chance and risk getting knocked out.
Your number one source for combat sports.
Oh, I just like that. How good was that?
Boxing, mixed martial arts, and more.
And it's all over!
Bing! Right on the jaw!
Covering the fight game on a local, national, and global level.
How about the knockout?
It landed chin to chin.
This is Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Check, check, checkity, check. Testies, 1, 2, there we go. It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Welcome in. Ozone here. You there, alongside Brian Imes. Brian Imes, the human cockfighter, the president, CEO, and founder of Hillbilly Fightwear. Yes, you can thump a stranger.
What a grand introduction that was. Thank
you, good for the
sir.
Community. It's good.
You are. You are. God bless you and Tim Rayner back there behind
indeed.
The
Indeed. Yeah. Tim Rayner.
Thank you.
With the customary round of applause for himself.
Always in purple, supporting his K-State Wildcats.
Welcome
big
in.
Over the weekend?
That's right. Yeah. Let's play some football. Oh, it's not football anymore. Yeah, basketball, same thing. But, so we're talking ass-whipping here. The art of ass-whipping, a serious, sensitive, sober look at the art of ass-whipping, the business of beatdowns, and a lot to talk about. The first segment, we'll do a review of and comment on the UFC, which happened this Wednesday last and featured Luke Rockhold, among other luminaries in the fight game, midweek fight card. I love to dig it and love to enjoy it. We'll talk a little about that. Maybe break it down just a little bit. Review of and comment on the UFC's most recent outing. Happened, I think it was in Duluth, Georgia. Come on.
I think it was down there
something
in the
like
south
that.
Somewhere. You
in
know,
the
they
south?
Like to thump a stranger down in the south.
That's for sure. And just days later, also in the south, I think we're talking Hollywood, Florida activity. World Series of Fighting 8 featuring our good friend Tyler Stinson. He was victorious Saturday night.
He was. He knocked that fellow out in the third round.
Yeah, and the guy's name is Valdir. I thought it was Araujo, but they were saying Araujo or Araujo. They pronounced it, I guess, how the dude told him to pronounce it. But anyway, the point is it
presuming
was a stoppage.
He pronounce his own.
It was a stoppage in the third round for Tyler Stinson, our guest last week.
It looked like Tyler lost at least one of the first two rounds.
Yeah, he was a come-from-behind victory. Mm-hmm. At least it appeared so. And dynamite in both fists. Old Tyler Stinson, baby victorious Saturday night in World Series of Fighting 8.
He's awfully mystical about those hands, isn't he?
There's no mystery because he just puts it on your chin and, night-night.
There you go.
Good night, pal. Sleep tight. but that's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. And this Justin Gaethje, he got, this was also World Series of Fighting 8. He continued his electrifying run in the mixed martial arts world and scored a brutal KO over the dude with the ridiculous haircut. We'll get into that in a little bit. It was a goofy animal print, and it was rather silly. So we'll do a little review of and comment on some of the fighting activity that's taken place over the last week. In segment two, we're talking Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9. That happens at the historic Truman Memorial Building in the historic downtown Independence, Missouri section of town. So that's going down. The headliner is Cody Peterson, and he will join us in the second segment, fighting a guy named Shelby Graham. Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9, stacked and packed with a pro-am card. Again, it happens Saturday night. This coming Saturday night in Independence. Yes, Brian.
That little Zach Hubbard is on that card. He's fighting Jacob Aiken.
I've seen
both of those young men fight. Hubbard is pretty scrappy.
He is.
At 125, and Aiken has been around a little bit. He fought L.C. Davis at one of Wooster's last cards.
It's a good matchup for the little dudes, man. But just top to bottom, we'll talk about that in the second segment as we enjoy ourselves on Fight Show Live. On Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. And the third segment, how about some upcoming events? So there's an RFA happening January 24th, January 25th. The next UFC, it's on UFC on Fox 10. Ben Henderson versus Josh the Punk Thompson happens. And, of course, the KCFA 9 locally is taking place. And February 1st, UFC 169, Barao versus Faber. That's taking place. We'll talk a little about that in the third segment. Maybe do a take it or leave it. And also maybe we may just maybe get into this little of this. I don't know if you heard about it. World Series of Fighting calling out, challenging Bellator. And they're, of course, both promotions are vying for the number two spot behind the, you know, the big granddaddy of all fight promotions, UFC. Brian, Josh, your comments.
Josh the Punk Thompson, is that what you call him, or he calls himself that?
That's his nickname. I don't know if he came up with it himself, but it is his nickname, and he's all about using that when he's, you know, in fights and stuff. He doesn't disagree with
he
it.
He has said publicly that this is the worst camp he's ever had. I don't know what that means. I've had several fight camps of my own, and they all suck, so.
Well, what do you think it might mean? I mean, just
I don't know what it means. I you know, what's it mean to you?
They all suck.
What does that mean to him if it sucks? I think it sucks. That's why I love it. I love it when it sucks, when it's hard, and when it's dirty, and you got, you know, ringworm on the back of your neck, can't get rid of it for a couple of weeks. It's awful. That's the best part.
Why is that the best part?
Because then, you get ready to cut weight, and then you make the weight, and you're just the purest form, and then you build it back up.
Purest form.
The dirty
part.
The suck is the good. That's the good part.
Jesus. Pro fighter Brian Imes extolling the virtues of the suck of a fight training camp.
Perspective. That's what it's all about.
Well, you know, why don't you take us through a little of that, just from a first-person perspective. When you get notice of a fight, and hopefully it's what? You got 6, 8, 10 weeks?
Yeah, if you're lucky. I mean, early on, when I started, first of all, fighting, there weren't as many fights as there are now. So I'd have 3, 4 weeks notice maybe, and I never had an amateur fight because, hell, that wasn't around. Not much anyway. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. You get a little notice, and then you get ready. But when you get up to that point and you get to make the weight that you're supposed to make, that's beautiful. And you're supposed to be in the purest form, and then you build it back up and you go. Yes, you can. And then you're on your back in the first round of Bellator with a broken wrist with John Ott beating the hell out of you. And you're thinking, oh, I got to at least make it to the end of this road. But this big old boy with no wrist. That's all right.
Yeah, no wrist.
That's what makes it fun. So that's the suck, Ozone. That's the suck.
So then do your other faculties, your other weapons, are they then heightened? I mean, because you lose one. So, you know, they say, oh, you lose your sense of sight, then your hearing gets really keen. But now when you lose, say, you break a wrist, I mean, then do your other limbs become that much more dangerous?
Well, the better, I guess. I don't know. I remember shaking my hand at Bellator, you know, thinking, why am I not throwing this? And then, of course, afterwards, you know what the hell's wrong with it. But, you know, whatever. You just keep going.
Well, in the heat of battle,
yeah,
the adrenaline
but that's
is
the
pumping.
Suck. I don't know. There's a lot of suck. That's, I was just saying, like, Josh Thompson, what's that mean? If this is the worst camp, they're all bad in a beautiful way, I guess.
Well, yeah, I imagine. But once you're successful, I mean, that just the big payoff.
Yeah, it's, well, and that's just part of the deal. That's part of the fun.
Yes.
It's part of
the glory of battle.
The profession of it.
It's Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Talking a little about reviewing what took place this Wednesday last. You had, let me get the name right. It was UFC Fight Night 33. So Luke Rockhold, former Strike Force champion, fighting in the middleweight division, 185 pounds. Uh-huh. He fights Konstantinos Filippou.
Very good.
And stops him in the first round with a kick to the body. So that was impressive, and I've always expected big things to happen for Luke Rockhold. Very tough kid. They did run into, who was it? Was it Vitor? Who beat his ass? Somebody beat
his
ass. I
think it was Belfort. Yeah. Wasn't he one of Belfort's latest victims?
And suffered a loss. But, man, he was really impressive.
It was a foot-to-the-head episode, I think is what it was. High-kick action, as you call it.
Right to his dome. But, no, he was successful in 2 minutes, 31 seconds, first round. Konstantinos Filippou took him out with a kick to the body. And man, I think he's going to look good. I you know, going forward, I sort of compare him to Chris Weidman. In terms of, I don't know, just that they sort of broke onto the scene at about the same time, more so in the UFC with your Weidman. Obviously, he's the champion now in the middleweight division. But, I mean, I think, if, you know, circumstances could have been different. You could have had Rockhold in that situation. I think there's a similar age and a kind of a similar skill set. I just sort of see Rockhold as a akin, at least on the same level in some ways, to the current middleweight champion Chris Weidman.
Does Rockhold have a wrestling pedigree like Weidman does?
You better believe it.
You bet your knuckle. Is he a Midwest fella? All no, those Midwest fellas are grapplers.
I think he's a West Coast fellow.
He's a West Coast fellow?
I think he is. I think he was beating the hell out of people on the beach. We'll have to look into that and get the research, our crack research team on that.
There's plenty of sand.
Yeah, for sure. But it was a good card. UFC Fight Night 35. Also on that, you had T.J. Dillashaw, who stand out. He fights out of Urijah Faber's alpha male, those guys out there. And so he took it to this Mike Easton. Unanimous decision on all cards, 30-27, T.J. Dillashaw was victorious. And also, now, I don't know if it's Yoel or Yoel Romero. We kept saying, come on, Yoel, because it sounded funny. But he beat this Derek Brunson in the third round, and that was a back-and-forth battle. They were going at it. But Yoel Romero victorious over Derek Brunson. Lighter weight guys, Johnny Moraga. Over Dustin Ortiz. Split decision they gave it to him for Johnny Moraga.
Cole Miller won on that card. I like that.
Yeah, he looked good.
I like
Sam Cecilia. That was a rear naked choke, second round. Victory for Cole Miller. What do you like about Cole Miller?
Like you said, rear naked choke. That's where you get him from the back there, see.
Yeah, well, I think he...
Snake up on him there.
He's a good dude. Long and lean. Always kind of looks like he just fell out of bed. My kind of fighter, for
there
sure.
You go.
But
Dustin Hazlett.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yeah. Is he the barn owl or the barn cat?
No, I don't know. He's on one of
the
UFC games, I think.
There's two dudes that are like that. They're similar build, and they look like one of them's the barn cat is his nickname.
Barn cat's a good nickname.
I like it. But, it was a successful card and, plenty of action to be had and seen. And you could see it, smell it, taste it, touch it, and pass it through your lower intestine. UFC Fight Night 35, a midweek offering.
How many shows are they having this year, the UFC? We said 50?
It's at least going to be 50.
It's hard to keep up now.
It really is. And we'll talk a little more about that in the second segment that's going to come up here in just a few minutes. We're going to be talking to the main event of Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9. I've been a guest on the show before. I've known him for years. Cody Peterson will join us. Man, I don't know if this fight's going to be at the buck 25, but he's got to be the tallest 125-pounder.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks to be, within a nose hair of 6 feet and fighting at 125 pounds.
Yeah.
I
got to see him fight a lot as an amateur at Blue Corner events and stuff, and he's really grown quickly. His ground game has evolved. He fought at the first Epic Fight Night, I believe. Or was that RFA he fought? I think he fought at RFA.
Yes.
That's right.
Affirmative. Also, World Series of Fighting. That was last night. And we had our good friend Tyler Stinson was on last week talking about his forthcoming fight with a guy who looked like a caveman. And the guy, Araujo, something or other. Tyler Stinson finally got into it in the third round and finished matters, and it looked like looked like he lost the first round. Maybe he could have gone either way the second round, but he needed, I think, a stoppage victory.
Yeah, that kid spent a lot of time on Tyler's hips, but I thought he did a good job wall walking and getting back up. His wrestling defense looked good. And then, obviously, he stroked him at the end. I mean, hell, he laid him flat.
Yeah.
That was great.
Valdir Araujo or Araujo, you pick. But he was knocked out, stopped 2 minutes 23 seconds of round 3 by our Tyler Stinson. Also, Cody Bollinger on that card to beat Tyson Nam, unanimous decision. And Jessica Aguilar, very impressive, over Alita Gray. Arm triangle choke in the first round, and she becomes the World Series of Fighting Women's Strawweight Champion, the first ever, as that is the inaugural Women's Strawweight belt that was on the line. Anthony Johnson Anthony, I can't make Wade Johnson against Mike Kyle. This was at light heavyweight.
This is a 205?
Yeah.
And, surely he can make that.
Because he's fought everywhere from welter to heavyweight.
I think he's missed weight at light heavyweight, which
he's,
is hard
he's
to
missed
fathom.
Weight in 4 of 5, I believe, of his last contest yeah. before this one. But he gets by Mike Kyle. I'm not sure who I wanted to see lose more.
Really?
But I think in the end I was going for
he was one of the first guys I saw in fighting. My brother fought in the WEC, and Kyle was fighting in the WEC at that time. We flew out there. Kimmins fought Joe Riggs, and he was walking around. I think he fought that night. Yeah, that was one of the first guys that he was fighting. He's been around for a long time.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. I like to bump into people, not say excuse me, but he took an ass whipping last night to Anthony Johnson. And so, you know, a lot of folks are happy for that. We'll take a break and come back. And when we do, we'll be joined by Cody Peterson. Cody Peterson is the main event. Kansas City Fighting Alliance happens Saturday night. He'll join us next on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
The most dangerous weapon in wrestling and sports entertainment has arrived to the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
The Spanish Announce Table. Every week, the tag team duo of T-Mac and Captain Awesome break down and analyze the world of wrestling as they slam it through the Spanish Announce Table on the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Experts in the business of beatdowns. Back to Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Welcome back. Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Talking about the art of ass whipping, the business of beatdowns. Ozone here alongside Brian Imes. T-Mac is on assignment. Tim Rayner is running the operation, the engineer. Yes, indeed, he feed the needy. And Brian Imes, of course, a pro fighter in his own right, the president, CEO, and founder of Hillbilly Fightwear. He is the human cockfighter in Hillbilly Fightwear. Yes, you can thump a stranger.
It's a fun ride.
And it really is. And
it is good for the community.
And it's good for the community. Brian Imes, pro fighter, says embrace the suck. I guess the less than glamorous aspects of the fight game is.
Yeah, if it's hard, it's good for you.
Yeah. That's what I said. Oh, she said, whatever.
I don't know who said that, but I say it.
Yeah.
It's hard, it's good for
right
you.
Right now, it's all business now, man. We're talking about the business of beatdowns. We've got Kansas City Fighting Alliance coming up Saturday night. The headliner now joins us on the phone. The very dangerous Cody Peterson is with us. What's up, Cody? Cody Peterson is with us. What's up, Cody?
Hello?
Cody.
Cody?
Cody Peterson is joining us.
Cody, are you there?
He will be the main event, Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9.
Cody, come out.
Anyway, okay. Well, he's scheduled to fight Shelby Graham, and you know, both guys. It's early in their pro careers. You got 2-0, both of them the wins stoppages for an experienced amateur mixed martial artist. Now embarking on his pro career, Cody Peterson 2-0 fighting Shelby Graham. I think is 3-4,
2-3,
like 2-3. Anyway, but we're trying to get Cody Peterson on the phone. Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9 happens.
I saw Cody
Saturday
fight
night.
A lot as an amateur. He kicks well. He moves forward well. His takedown defense is good. Obviously, he trains with Krause and them a lot, Tim Elliott and the rest of them.
I know he's got good hands.
He's got good hands.
Good hands, too. And
he throws down.
Very very well-rounded game,
yep.
As they say about people who have
developed
a well-rounded game. Cody
Peterson, get him on the phone.
His presence on the air here is forthcoming. It'll happen momentarily.
I'm excited.
I think we got some right now. We have some activity.
I'm excited.
Do we have some Cody activity? Cody, are you with us, sweet daddy?
Cody.
We don't have any Cody activity. Anyway, also on the card you mentioned earlier, Brian, I'm Zach Hubbard, fighting Jacob Aiken. I want to see this matchup.
Yeah, I want to see this too. Hubbard's had a pro boxing match now.
Yeah.
He fought a kid that was a Gold Gloves champion in St. Louis. So he lost his decision. Lasted with him. He's had, I don't even know, 4 or 5 pro MMA fights. When was his last pro MMA fight? Titan last year in Fort Riley? Or has he fought since then? Yeah. He's scrappy.
Well, I mean, like a good attorney, you should know the answers to these questions when you're asking them. But Zach Hubbard, StubHub, excuse me, SubHub, taking on Jacob Aiken. I'm looking forward to that one. Another one, too, at the light heavyweight division, you got Eric Crittenden taking on Teddy Payne, Babalola.
This is his pro debut, Tim Babalola?
Yeah.
Right? Crittenden just had a professional kickboxing match in, where was that, Wichita or Topeka? Just a few weeks
Wichita
back.
Wichita and Topeka.
Uh-huh. He fought Aaron Mays as a professional. Mays has done pretty good. I think he's 3-3 now. Trains with Black House down in Sierra Vista, New Mexico?
Sierra Vista, New Mexico.
Arizona? One of those.
Same thing.
A couple guys from the Midwest have gone down there and trained Garrett Robinson, my roommate, to be one. As well as Aaron Mays. Estevez Jones trains down there. That's Andre Corrales has a gym right there. Chute Boxe Academy. Yeah,
that's Brazilian
Brazilian
activity.
That Brazilian activity.
Well, I mean, it's sort of a high volume, you know, very, very rigorous, I guess, style that they, you know, of mixed martial arts that they train there.
Run up this mountain and then come back down. Don't be a pussy.
That's what, that's...
Don't be lazy.
Yeah. Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan, trying to catch up with our guest in the second segment, Cody Peterson, and we are talking about Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9, the ninth installment thereof, and I mean, really, it's a stacked and packed card, as it always is on Kansas City.
Who else is fighting on that card on the amateur side?
Andy Riley fighting Joe Estrada, and that's for a title.
They have trouble finding people to fight Riley.
Yeah, they do.
They seem to disappear at the weigh-ins and things, or just after the weigh-ins.
Yeah, well, I can see why. He's got an intense look about him, and you know, he's the Andy fast track Riley. There's a reason for that. I mean, he's aggressive, always in shape. Do we have any Cody Peterson activity? Hello? That's not him. We don't have any Cody Peterson. Well,
serious
damn it.
Business.
I don't know what
isn't Gaston Reno on that KCFA card also? Did they find somebody to fight Reno?
They did, yeah. Gaston Tonga Reno, who is the superstar in the fight world. In his native Uruguay. I'm not sure which fight this is for him because he's fought, you know, overseas, and he's got a ton of, like, taekwondo battles and like, kickboxing matches.
Yeah, yeah, but he's still an
mixed
amateur.
Martial arts. Yeah, he's still an amateur mixed martial artist.
The world MMA.
But an emerging superstar. And Tonga is his nickname.
He kicks well to the face, I'm told.
Indeed.
I haven't had the pleasure.
Indeed, with all 3 feet.
I look forward to the pleasure. That's the sucko. So
fighting Tommy Beal, you were asking about.
Ooh, Tommy Beal's a tough kid, man. I've actually rolled with him a little bit at You and I versus All MMA in Blue Springs. I think that's right. He's a tough
Blue
kid.
Spriggs.
He's a good. He's 19 years old, maybe. He's had 8 or 9 amateur fights, and he's still undefeated.
Wow.
He's a pretty good wrestler. He's decent submission game. I believe he got me in a head and arm that night when I rolled him. I was tired.
Really?
I was tired.
And you go about 6'5" and over 200 pounds, and this kid fights at about $150, and he's turning and spinning you around, turning
you
into a pretzel.
Well, you know, I was helping him. You know, hey.
Oh, you let him have that?
I think I'd driven around all day long, and I was tired, so I figured I'd go down and take a nap at Universal and let these kids choke me.
You were powerful
tired.
It
was good for you.
It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan. Still hoping to catch up with Cody Peterson, main event headliner. Versus Shelby Graham at Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9. But, man, yeah, would like to hear his thoughts on this forthcoming.
You were talking about Hubbard. He's 2-2 is the answer to my question.
SubHub.
2-2 as a pro, and he's 0-1 as a professional boxer. But he's fought a Titan, and he's fighting.
He's fighting a tough customer in Jacob Aiken.
Yeah, absolutely. Jacob Aiken fought Cody Peterson, if we can get him on the phone here. Cody finished him. Aiken also fought L.C. Davis at 135.
L.C. Davis, you know, some news on L.C. Davis. You know, he signed with, of course, he's a WEC veteran.
Right.
Signed with Bellator.
I saw that.
You see that? So that's nice.
I think that's good. I think that's good. I have some friends who've signed some contracts with Bellator. And
you fought for the organization yourself.
Yeah, I did.
It's good to get that the local guys, you know, high-profile, televised matches. So that, you know, it's a good showcase for their skills.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to
Bellator's obviously on television quite often. It's good exposure for those guys.
Yeah. And they do, a weekly tournament series, and really that's the only one left, I guess, that's doing – the only bigger name left that's doing – a tournament-style mixed martial arts approach.
Right.
You know, of course, it started, you know, like that back in 93 with the UFC, but, boy, we've come a long way.
We have come a long way. We have come a long way. RFA's a big show. Look at that there. And a little new local news. William Joplin signed a contract to fight for RFA.
Yeah.
When's his first fight?
Resurrection Fighting Alliance. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Like, well, I said, you got to be a good attorney, man. Know the answers to those questions.
They're having one
sake.
On the 24th. I don't know if he's fighting that soon, but William was 2-8 at one point and has won 6 consecutive professional fights.
Yeah.
He's now 8-8.
Nah, he's ridiculous.
Hats off to him. That's awesome.
The Armadillo.
He's in Grindhouse every time I've ever been in there. He's there.
Yeah, you mentioned January 24th. I don't think he's going to fight.
I don't think he's fighting that soon. That's cool that he signed a contract with them. Obviously, Cutbursts involved with that organization, involved with the local fight community, which is good for the community.
Indeed. Yeah, well, you know. We got some Cody activity?
Cody?
I think we're going to have to give up on the Cody activity. Well,
that's funny.
Really
still
sucks.
Talking about it, though. That was part of the suck.
It sucks.
Embrace,
man.
The suck, Ozone. It's just me and you.
Yeah.
You're lost in Twilight.
Yeah. Well, sure thing. Whatever. you know, let's talk about some upcoming fights. You know, the KCFA. We mentioned a stacked and packed car. We mentioned some of the luminaries that are going to be on that.
Right.
Can't get Cody Peterson, unfortunately. He's the headliner. Still tickets available. CageTix.com, best place to get those. And this is a terrific card. There was a blizzard last year, and they still sold that thing out. I mean, they sold tickets in advance. Of course, people still came out. You know, they had cabin fever after a day or two of being stuck in the house under all that snow, and still came out and supported this fantastic show, Kansas City Fighting Alliance, Independence, Missouri, Truman Memorial Building, Saturday night. It's Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Other upcoming fights. How about this UFC 169, Henan Barao versus Urijah Faber? Any thoughts on that, Brian Iams? It's UFC 169.
Yeah, Uriah just stepped in to fill in
for Dominic Cruz, right?
Thank you. Yeah. And it's Dominic. A rematch, obviously. Barao beat him the first time, so that's kind of fun. I think Faber's on a tear lately. He's kind of turned it around.
Yeah. No, I mean, the knock on Faber is, yeah, he can beat everybody except for the champions or the number one contenders in whichever division he's fighting in, be that flyweight or bantamweight.
But he was the champ for a long time in the WEC, obviously, before he got beat by Mike Brown, right? When Mike Brown took his title the first time, Mike Thomas Brown.
Well, Mike Charlie Brown, he beat him a couple of times. Even after he lost the title, Faber was still the face of the WEC and still one of the faces of mixed martial arts, and that'll be a terrific matchup. Again, like you said, it was a rematch, and it was time for Dominic Cruz to abdicate the throne. It's really unfortunate. I mean,
has it been since he defended?
About 2.5 years, I think.
Okay,
it's been
quite
a while.
You know, can we all go on now?
Well, and he agrees with that too. But then of course the other big question with a guy like. You know, you got Henan Barao, who is the interim champion, now the champion. You relinquish it or you're stripped of it, however that happens, and then you give it to Barao, who's, you know, was the interim champion. However the hell that works, he's now got the belt. But
who's in charge?
Whatever the politics are involved.
Right.
But it happens in a boardroom. Here you go. Here's your belt and stuff. But would Dominic Cruz want to fight the top guy other than him in that weight class in the world? Just coming off of a 2-year layoff?
Right.
I think not.
I think you're probably right.
You want at least one tune-up to see where we are as far as our skills. You know, it seems to me, and of course you're the pro fighter, you can speak to this from a first person. I mean, it seems to me like that it's a little different game inside the cage than it is inside the gym. You got a lot of gym guys that look terrific in the gym and can't put it together come fight night.
Well, and a lot of it's different in your mind, too. You know, you laid off for that long. He hadn't fought for 2.5 years. Of course, he's been doing plenty of sparring post-rehabbing his knee and the whole thing. So I'm sure he knows where he's at, but he hasn't put it to work in front of people and the lights and the whole thing. So it might be a better idea to warm it up. You know, I thought my knee was all right and went and boxed in November, and hell, I could hardly walk the next day. No. Ooh, I guess my knee wasn't so good there. So, but at least I got to use my hands a little bit and got some experience, you know, doing some boxing. So you move on, but he might want to do something first as opposed to jump in there with
got the slang Badal
or Faber.
What's up, Tim? What's going on? Should we try another number for Cody Peterson, or should we say the hell with it? We're going to try it back. Should we take a break and try to come back with some Cody Peterson activity? I think we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we're still chasing Cody Peterson, main event for Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9. And hopefully we get Cody Peterson next on Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Touch that dial, and we'll kick your ass. You're tuned in to Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Yes, indeedy, feed the needy. Welcome back, Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Hi.
Marching forward, slogging through. Blew your kiss there, Tim. Come on, but hopefully we've got some Cody Peterson activity. Cody Peterson, are you with us, sweet daddy?
I am.
Yes.
For a second, I thought you guys didn't want me on the show.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hi, Cody.
How you doing?
We got Cody Peterson, and we're thrilled, man. Hey, so you're the main event in main event matchup against Shelby Graham, KC Fighting Alliance, Kansas City Fighting Alliance, Truman Memorial Building, Independence, Missouri, this Saturday, the 25th. Still tickets available, cagetix.com. And you can pick Cody Peterson as your fighter if you wish to see him perform some ass-whipping activity. I don't know if you still got tickets for sale, Cody, but you get the call to move up to the main event. Have you main evented before? Probably not as a pro, have you, Cody Peterson? Your comments.
No, not yet as a pro. Been looking forward to it, though. So I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, and so what do you know about your opponent? I mean, is this a short-notice type of a deal? I mean, I did see a nasty spinning, I guess, a heel kick that he put on some poor bastard, and so it looks. And he's a very athletic guy. You know, he does a backflip with without any the assistance of any hands. He's a very athletic.
He's a
game fighter, and I mean, your thoughts on your opponent, Shelby Graham?
Very, very tough guy. He has a Taekwondo background, which I mean, if you look at the guys I practice with, Brian Davison, Gaston Tonga, I'm not worried about Taekwondo at all. I mean, that worries me at all. That spinning heel kick, I get that thrown at me just about every single day. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to this fight. I think it's going to be very explosive. He seems pretty tough, so I think it'll be a good challenge for me.
Having been bumped up to the main event, I mean, how much added pressure is there for you the first time main eventing?
Oh, I don't think there's any. I mean, it's just another fight. I mean, I gotta go out there and do what I do best.
Which is what? What does Cody Peterson do best?
I bring the fight to them.
So you're walking fools down and coming after them. You're the aggressor in the fight. You're not standing there trying to be cute and counter.
A little bit of both. I mean, I like to walk them down, but at the same time, I like to pick them apart. So.
Well, you've always been, and we've got Cody Peterson joining us on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. He is the main event against Shelby Graham this Saturday, Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9, Truman Memorial Building, Independence, Missouri. Now, Cody, you were an effective and successful standout amateur, but what do you think has changed in your game in the last, say, I guess, year? In the last year, I mean, you seem to have graduated to a different level. Can you talk about that?
just the intensity of training. I mean, ever since I made the move to Grindhouse, I mean, and started really training with James Krause and Zach Cummings and now Tim Elliott, now that he's there. I mean, Tim Elliott's pushed everybody's game to the next level, and I mean, he puts the pressure on you that you won't see in a fight.
Well, I mean, you are getting so that's got something to do with it. Then the elevation of your own game is because of I guess the training you're getting with three active UFC fighters, and then one really your own weight class with Tim Elliott, and so I guess that would be that is what has enhanced your game. But what about the move to 125? I believe this fight is 140 at a catchweight.
This is at 140. It'll probably be a while before anybody sees me back at 125. It's a tough cut. I mean, it's doable, but very, very tough cut.
Well, especially for a guy your height, you don't see. But what are you, about 6'5", 6'6"?
I'm 5'11".
5'11, same thing.
5'11".
But in thick socks, I mean, you're 6 feet tall. Cutting to 125 pounds, I mean, it really is sort of a freaky thing to do to your body. How did you feel? I mean, have you had one fight at a buck 125?
I had two amateur fights at 125, but my first pro fight. I mean, at 125, I didn't really feel as strong as I do at 35. I mean, 35, I just feel like a whole nother animal.
Yeah, well, and we're gonna get to see that against Shelby Graham, Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9. Brian Iams, a question for Cody Peterson.
What's up, Cody Peterson?
How you doing, Brian?
How are you, fella?
I'm good.
I see you fight a lot as an amateur, and then I saw you fight at RFA in your pro debut. You use your kicks a lot to the inside, fast. Takedown defense seems to be good. I think you're a hard guy to game plan against. I think you'd be difficult to beat. What say you? You like to throw paws more, but... What say you?
I do like to stand more, but I mean, working with James Krause, I mean, I feel very comfortable on the ground, and Tim Elliott has me in the zone of as soon as my butt hits the ground, I'm scrambling to get back up. So I mean, really honestly, I don't even care where a fight goes anymore.
Yeah, that's good. I think you do a good job getting back. You do a good job picking off on the inside. Fun to watch, brother. Good luck.
Thank you.
Cody Peterson is with us. Main event, Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9, Saturday night, Truman Memorial Building, Independence, Missouri. Now, I ask just about every fighter this in preparation for their upcoming contest. Now, do you game plan, and Brian just mentioned that, that you're difficult to game plan against, but do you game plan specifically for your opponents?
I don't think I really do. I mean, everybody just tells me to do what I do best. I mean, those are usually the words that come out of James's mouth. And I mean, everybody just tells me, do what I do. So, I mean, I don't think I ever really go in there with the game plan.
Well, you're talented. That's a good approach. Tell a kid that's talented like you, just do you. That's good advice for most fighters, I think.
Yep,
but you got to have the right coaching to point him in the right direction, though. Too, I mean, what you do best? I mean, what if you do best is lay on the ground and look for submissions? I mean, that's kind of outdated. What are your thoughts on that, Cody? You're talking about working with, you know, the likes of Zach Cummings and James Krause, and of course, you know, the very successful wrestling career that Tim Elliott had, and his philosophy is different. He doesn't like to, you know, you don't want to play on the ground unless he's on top beating the hell out of you.
Right. I mean, playing on the ground, I mean, it has its benefits still, but I mean, no one really does it anymore. I mean, you get a solid wrestler in there like Tim Elliott, and you're trying to submit him. I mean, that kind of scrambling, I mean, you just got to hope you catch someone when you get into that. So, I mean, now that wrestling's getting more involved, I mean, ground game's getting harder and harder to really submit people. I mean, unless you're James Krause, Anthony Sharkbait, you know. I mean, there's people out there that can catch people, but, I mean, when you get a good wrestler, it gets a lot harder.
Well, and the game is evolving. What are your thoughts on the overall game? I mean, you just mentioned it as far as, you know, like guys with wrestling and you know, Tim Elliott in particular, not, you know, doesn't want any part of the ground unless he's got his opponent on his back. I mean, do you think that we're seeing, I guess, the evolution of the fight game? You know, a lot of the champs, the champions have lost recently. Anderson Silva, you know, he lost to Chris Weidman. You know, Dominic Cruz, of course, he was injured and stuff, and so he doesn't have his belt anymore. But GSP, a lot of people think he lost that fight. I know you were in Vegas for the Johnny Hendricks fight. And I think you probably think that GSP lost that fight. And John Jones looked really vulnerable, you know, in his last fight against
maybe
that Swede.
Maybe lost that fight, yeah.
So do you think we're seeing the evolution of the fight game with all of these champions either – they get in trouble or they lose their belt? Are we seeing the evolution of the fight game, Cody Peterson?
I'd say so. I mean, when wrestling first came to MMA, it was just holding people down. Now it's holding them down while striking, and wrestlers are more aware of the jiu-jitsu game that people are bringing, so that they're not as worried about it now that they know how to defend it. So I mean, now that wrestlers understand it, I mean, it's really a wrestler's world still, you know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the, I mean, perhaps, I mean, arguably the most solid base to have in your mixed martial arts repertoire. I've always considered, you know, boxing and wrestling Western martial arts, you know, and as a, you know, because the martial arts really originated, you know, in the Far East, but I think boxing and wrestling, to me, are Western martial arts. Brian Iams.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, wrestling is, anytime you be on top of a fellow as opposed to underneath him, you're better off. Just, I mean, that's common sense. So jiu-jitsu has its, obviously has its advantages, and you can catch people. But like Cody said, the wrestling is getting faster and more aware of the aggressive jiu-jitsu style. So, you know, you go around and attack like that on the ground and cause damage with elbows and things. Yeah, wrestling dominates.
Cody, how'd you get into fighting?
When I was about 19, wrong place, wrong time, got into a little scuffle, got stabbed, and I was about a week out of the hospital, and one of my stepdad's friends came over that owned Summit Fitness out in Lee Summit, and at the time, it was Phil Jones' gym, the old House of Pain,
right?
And they told me come in. I went in for a week. Fell in love with it, never left, and then decided to start bouncing around gym to gym until I landed at Grindhouse.
Did you get any revenge on the bastard who stabbed you?
No. I let it go.
Okay.
Let it go.
Yeah. Well,
was it like a leg shot or was to the torso?
To the kidney.
To the kidney. Ow.
Yeah.
How'd that feel?
Not very good.
Jesus. Well,
oh,
Cody
man,
Peterson,
you are tough, brother. God love you.
Yeah, and he's got definitely a crowd-pleasing style, and he's been stabbed. So why don't you support this young man and watch?
Support your local fighter. You have no idea what he's been through to get to that cage.
Cody Peterson taking on Shelby Graham. Man, we're looking forward to seeing you in the main event Saturday night, Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9. Thanks a lot for taking the time to talk to us on a Sunday evening. I know you're a family man. You're in the middle of a training camp. You're very generous with your time. Cody, looking forward to seeing you Saturday night, sweet daddy.
Yes, sir. Everybody make sure you come out. It's going to be an exciting night.
Yeah, so we will be there watching the ass-whipping stylings of Cody Peterson. Thanks so much, brother. We'll see you soon.
You guys have a good night.
See you, brother.
You too. Cody Peterson versus Shelby Graham. Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9, Truman Memorial Building in historic downtown Independence, Missouri.
Yeah, if you haven't been there, that's a great place to watch a fight. The ring is down underneath you on a fairly tight venue. How many people fit in there? 2,000-3,000? I think Ozone, even
it's
that
probably
many.
Not quite that much, but what you're talking about, the setup of the cage.
The setup of it, yeah.
Not a bad seat in the house because most of the seats, except for the floor seats, are elevated.
Uh-huh.
So you can see right down into the action.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's a terrific card. You know, high volume, high impact, and you got the best of the best in the Midwest and the surrounding regions. Emerging stars are fighting at Kansas City Fighting Alliance. You check it out Saturday night.
Are you the acclaimed microphone projectionist on this evening's event?
I will be doing the ring announcement.
Is that PC, the way I said that?
Yeah, so they'll give me a microphone.
And for no other reason, come out and hear Ozone tell you to stuff a hot dog in your face. Well, it's a good time.
You need to come out for the ass whipping because it's a terrific event every time. Kansas City Fighting Alliance this coming Saturday again. CageTix.com. That's traditional spelling. CageTix.com. You can pick the event and you can pick the fighter that you want to support. There's three different levels of ticket prices. And, it's a good time. I'm telling you, that's a great way to spend a Saturday evening. And it's fun, really, for the whole family.
It is good. It is good. Yeah,
absolutely. Some ass whipping.
Yeah, a little Christian service. You go to a fist fight on a Saturday night, you don't have to go to church on Sunday morning.
That's right. Fellowship.
Just saying.
I'm not going to sit here, Brian Imes, and here talk. Listen to you lying on the Bible and lying on God.
It's civil discourse. It's Christian service. It's good for the community.
Falling
yes,
apart
you can.
At
Ozone.
The ass end of
you
Fight Show Live.
Stranger.
On Sports Radio 102.5.
God never fails.
Thank you to Cody Peterson. Look for him in action Saturday night in the main event. I'm really looking forward to that whole card, man. A lot of terrific matchups. Tonga's fighting on it. Andy Riley, Zach Hubbard, a bunch of
well-produced show, too. Wooster does a good job.
It moves along very quickly, and it's high impact and high action. So be there or be a square. I got some take it or leave it at, too. Do we have time? We don't have time, do we?
About 50 seconds.
We 50 seconds.
Well, earlier in the night, you mentioned UFC about 50 events this year.
Right.
More UFC events, a good thing or a bad thing? Take it or leave it. A good thing. Take it or leave it.
Take it, absolutely. UFC does a great job putting on shows, giving opportunities to fighters. They pay well, especially when it comes to bonuses. This is good for the MMA community at large. Good for the fighter.
I'm going to take it as well, and that's a very good answer. That is correct, by the way. Brian Himes.
That is correct.
Mine wasn't so coherently spat out, spewed forth. But we do thank Cody Peterson for taking the time this evening to talk to us. We will see you next week on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Is that it?
Yes, it's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.